Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, of course, the Chiefs get a win over the Colts yesterday in overtime, 23-20 to get to 6-5 on the year, a season-saving type of win, one that they had to have. They got it. We'll talk more in detail about that after What's Trending. But Kareem Hunt, on an individual level, the headliner, 30 carries, 104 yards, the most carries he's ever had in his NFL career. Now, he is very beat up, I think, after that game, so we'll see how that bodes for Thursday. Also, Rashee Rice, 8 catches, 141 yards, 108 yards after the catch.
Pretty impressive. Obviously, we found out today that Trey Smith has a high and low ankle sprain to go with that. So he's doubtful probably for Thursday's game. But great win, obviously, for Kansas City. Next up on What's Trending, starting to be that time of the year when your team struggles, more people get fired. Chip Kelly out as the offensive coordinator for the Raiders. I can't believe he made it this long, considering how bad that offense looks. Bowen is out for the defensive coordinator for the Giants. They've obviously already fired their head coach, promoted Mike Kafka. The offensive coordinator is head coach, but he's going to go ahead and get rid of the DC as well if they continue to search for answers. They were the first team in the entire NFL to be mathematically eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah, as far as Chip Kelly, as you said, highest paid offensive coordinator in football. He was hired this offseason, and it's just complete disaster. Not that Geno Smith is good, but that offense with Genty, Geno, and Bauer should still be somewhat better.
Like, so that's yeah, no, I completely agree. I was going to ask, is there a college job he can get? Arkansas or something?
I mean, Arkansas potentially. There's other ones that if he really wanted to go, he really wanted to go back to college. Smaller schools, of course.
Elsewhere, thinking of college football, bad weekend for all three locals. The Jayhawks fell to Iowa State 38-14. They are 5-6. They have a game on Friday, Black Friday, against Utah, where they're home underdogs of 13.5 points. If they want to go to a bowl game, that is a must win for the Missouri Tigers. They had no offense, even with Bo Prabula back in the mix. 17-6 loss to number 8 Oklahoma. K-State football lost a heartbreaker on the road. They were big dogs to Utah and should have won the game. They end up losing 51-47. The Wildcats, 5-6 on the season. They also are in a spot where they got to get one more win on Saturday against Colorado to get to bowl eligibility.
Yeah. Hi, boy, what a weekend. You know, the one team's going to feel sick is K-State. They moved the ball.
They ran for almost 500 yards.
I mean, all day. Avery Johnson, like, I mean, they move the ball, but problem, they couldn't get a single stop against Utah. Next up on What Training, Baker Mayfield has a strained AC joint. That, according to the x-rays he received, they're saying no structural damage at the moment, although they will still confirm with an MRI. They said he's not yet ruled out for the game on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. I know this is every year, man, and this is probably where we should give Patrick Mahomes more credit, because every year there's like 10 or 12 quarterbacks, it seems like, they miss multiple games for their teams. You know, and there's a couple of guys every year that play every game for their team, Mahomes being one of them. This is just another recent example. Baker Mayfield, who plays through almost anything with a strained AC joint of his non-throwing shoulder. I think they didn't put him back in that game last night because they were getting their ass whipped, and there was no point. They're down 31-7 at half. They didn't really need to throw Baker Mayfield back in there.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. So, coming up here in about 7 to 10 minutes, we will get to stock up, stock down in the NFL. I guess it doesn't have to be in the NFL. We can do
it could be anywhere. We've done other
anywhere,
places.
Anywhere else. But by the way, it is a Monday. Don't forget, like, you know you're going to be cooking plenty on Thanksgiving, so you don't want to cook at all Monday or Tuesday. So why not go grab some great food over at 30 Hop? And on Mondays, 30 Hop's our lunch partner, $5.99 classic burgers. 30 Hop's your new go-to in American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. You can check out their location in Lee's Summit and in Merriam Grand Station. Stop in for lunch, stay for happy hour, 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio. So let's get back into the Chiefs win yesterday against the Colts. I think everybody, when Kareem Hunt fumbled that football at that point in time, at the very least, you said, oh, this is it. This is it. You might have also just flat out said, all right, it is completely over. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. I think at that moment, you thought, all right, it's just not going to happen for this team in 2025.
I sent it out, so there's no evidence of me thinking the other way around. I definitely thought that was the season.
It looked like it was the dagger moment. It looked like it was the dagger moment, and yet again, in the biggest spot when they had to have a play, the team failed to make a play. That's where it was trending.
Yep.
Well, the defense, though, stepped up time and time again, five straight three and outs is what they were capable of doing against Daniel Jones to give this offense chance after chance after chance, and you just had to find a way to get a win and survive in advance. It was that simple, and that's what they were able to do. We'll get into some of the specifics, but I thought Patrick Mahomes kind of said it after the game, which is they needed a win like that, and maybe is it a springboard?
This is exactly what we needed, to win against a really good football team, and the game's not going your way. You could have folded in that situation and kind of been kind of the rest of the season. The guys responded and then found a way to win on every single unit. I mean, offense, we found a way at the end. Defense stood tall multiple times to give us chances, and then Harrison and Ariza did a great job flipping the field and making field goals. So we needed a win like this, and now let's just try to build off of it.
I do think that it feels, for the first time all year, we had said Golden Boy. I was just waiting for him to be like the old Chiefs. Win a way they used to win, come from behind, do the stuff I'm just accustomed to doing, making a big stop, having a big drive, something. And they had two big drives. I know they went three and out on the one, but they obviously went all the way down the field and kicked the field goal to win it, even though they should have won it there. They didn't. But then had another big stop in overtime and another big drive that if they needed to score a touchdown there, I'm confident that they would have done it. They also ran a season-high snaps from under center. And, like, they changed themselves at least a little bit in that regard. And for the first time all year, they won a way that I'm accustomed to the Chiefs winning. Mahomes was his best at the moment he needed them to be his best. And they went down there and they won a football game. Yeah, I'll be honest. I thought the season was over. When Kareem Hunt fumbled in the red zone, I thought, okay, it's just not meant to be. This season's not going to go the way it's supposed to go. And every time, they've been in a big moment this year up to that point, they had failed themselves, it felt like. And for the first time, it didn't.
Well, they won a one-score game. Yeah, I mean, it was they were 0-5, as we all know. That's been talked about ad nauseum at this point in time. But you wondered if down the remaining stretch of the season, would there be some positive regression? Like, were they really going to be 0-8, 0-9 in one-score games by the time the season was
started
over?
To feel like it yesterday.
For sure. And so I agree with Patrick Mahomes on, like, you would love to blow out every single opponent, okay? But I think specifically for their psyche, maybe as a fan you can shrug it off and say, whatever.
In a way, it's better than blowing them out.
I think for the locker room, though, and for the mental side of the game, for everybody in that locker room, winning a one-score game was was very, very beneficial, other than the obvious was they won the football game. Yeah, it would have been very nice to just blow out the Colts. That, I think, also could be good for your confidence. But the fact that they, the question of whether or not they can make the big play late when they clearly made plenty of mistakes. Let's not act like they didn't. They obviously
they lost
made
the turnover battle, plenty of penalties.
Mahomes, of course, the turnover right there early on in the game. The receivers, when they were open at times, Mahomes didn't see the field well. And then there were times where receivers weren't winning. You know, all the way around, you know, they were able to in this game. I think after a week of being criticized for it, they leaned on the run game. Now, that's not the formula every single week. And Kareem Hunt can't carry the ball 30 times. And I'm worried about his effectiveness, frankly, the rest of the season. I think he is very much worn down. So Isaiah Pacheco, just from a carry perspective,
it's a good time to get him back.
Needs to get back. We'll see if he's available. They also signed Damian Pierce, maybe just to have another body in the room, because Kareem Hunt on a short week after that performance, I don't know what you can really expect out of him on Thursday against the Cowboys. So we'll see. I think the when you look at the offensive plan, though, yesterday, Cody, after a week of not willing to run the ball and win ugly and win boring, whatever you want to describe it as, for them to carry the ball 30 times with Kareem Hunt, I thought was a great sign from the coaching staff.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I don't know, like, other than special teams, which I would argue is still off, despite the fact Harrison Butker part was good. He made all five of his kicks, but you know, the kick return coverage, the punt return coverage, the penalties on it, there's still some part of that that's off. This year, the defense hadn't made the big play either. Go back to that 3rd and 15 against Bo Nix, or when they had 3rd and long against Justin Herbert, or all these other ones where they couldn't make the big stop. The defense made 5 consecutive huge stops in that game against the league's best. I want to remind everybody, still, by the way, as of today, the number one scoring offense in the entire NFL. They made him go 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, just time and time again at the end of the game. So a defense who, in all the previous 5 years, Gold, I think you may be in the rundown. As we plan the show, we keep live notes sometimes that end up mattering, sometimes that are about the game at the time of the game. It's, hey, can this defense, do they take it away? Can they make the big stop? It just doesn't feel like the same kind of defense we're accustomed to until that last minute of the game. Doesn't feel like the same kind of offense who can go get the win when it's until the end of the game, when they outscored or outgained them, what, 270 yards to 20 or whatever. I'm roughly estimating.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
It was something like that. It was a huge disparity between the two. That was for the, I actually think that is a better way to win for this team right now than if they'd gone out and beaten them 35-0. It doesn't mean you have to feel better about the team, but they needed a win like this, specifically like this, against a really good team at home where they had to, you know, scratch and claw and fight. And look, they still got 3 difficult games in a row against the Dallas Cowboys, who aren't in the playoffs right now, but the outside looking in. The Houston Texans, same thing, ahead of you in the playoff standings, and the Chargers. But some things are still true. The Chiefs are still great at home. They still have Patrick Mahomes. They can still win difficult games. This game proved to me that they still have some of that.
Yeah, what we were looking at today, is 17-1 in their last 18 at home, including the postseason.
Yep.
So, like, for anybody questioning, like, the mystique of Arrowhead and just winning it, no, it's mattered. It's mattered. Yeah, the team's also been pretty darn good. They won 15 games last year. But still, Patrick Mahomes, guys, at the podium yesterday, multiple times mentioned the crowd and how the Kareem Hunt fumble, I thought it was telling. He said the Kareem Hunt fumble, he's like, while the crowd or our Twitter and stuff was counting them out, that they felt like there was still tons of energy in the building, and that if they were on the road, it might have gone in a different direction. Like that, I'm paraphrasing, but you can go and listen to the full audio. We might even be able to get the whole cut if you want it. But Patrick Mahomes said essentially that game goes differently if they're on the road. A fumble like that can just be deflating, but the energy level was still there in large part because of the crowd, even after the Kareem Hunt fumble, and the crowd knowing the moment, needing the 3 and out.
So think about it. They got 0 turnovers themselves. They didn't take the ball away from the Colts once, even though Daniel Jones tried to gift wrap a couple for him. They gave a ball away that was an instant touchdown, practically a pick 6 based on where the Chiefs turned it over, and turned it over in the red zone. There are very few games for any team, I do mean any team, the Rams, for instance, who clearly look like the best team in the NFL. If they turn one over that is a pick 6 essentially for the other side, and then also turn it over as they're getting ready to score in the red zone, those are almost unwinnable games. Genuinely, unwinnable games, especially against 8-2 football teams, which is what the Colts were going into that thing. So, like, that's supposed to be an unwinnable game. based on just the turnovers alone, if you knew nothing else. But because the Chiefs put up, I don't know, felt like 800 yards worth of offense because they possessed the ball for two-thirds of the football game, they were able to overcome it and just win in a slightly different way.
I still think we can't downplay the, yes, the defense in this three and outs, but what they did to Jonathan Taylor, he did not have 60 yards. Like we discussed on Friday, you can't let him beat you. You know, you can't go off for 150 and two touchdowns, but how many people actually thought they were holding him to under 60? And I'm willing to bet if the Colts have a performance like that again from Jonathan Taylor, they will probably lose that game as well. I think that was the key too. Like, yes, late in the game, for whatever reason, the Colts decided to stop even trying to run the ball. Part of it is because the Chiefs were so effective, but Jonathan Taylor was hit behind the line of scrimmage on 63% of his behind the line of scrimmage, 63% of his touches. That means you're winning at the line of scrimmage if you're the defensive front. He only forced three missed tackles. This is a guy that does that for a living, literally, and had a season low 10 yards after the missed tackle. They tackled well. He had the one run where he bounced it outside, and Chris Jones in postgame was talking about that. He said that was a play where they thought it was going to be a QB sneak. They were on sneak, so they were all tucked in. They thought Daniel Jones about to do a QB sneak. So
that was on a third and short, wasn't it?
Yeah, so Jonathan Taylor was able to bounce it to the outside. And then he was asked, did you learn anything from it? He said, we didn't do it again. Basically, like they didn't play the QB sneak the next time, and that's why they were effective.
Well, I mean, again, they did everything. They took them completely out of their offensive game plan. And then eventually, even though it worked in the second half, said, all right, Daniel Jones, come beat us. And then in the second half, as it turns out, not surprisingly, harder for Daniel Jones in order to do that. So, look, it was not a pretty win. I'm not going to come in here and be like, it gave me...
They don't need those, because, though. Like, they don't need those.
No, from a confidence perspective, I'd have been more confident about this team if they just rolled them 35-0. But, like, I think the team needed it to be like this. Like, and then if they get the short week and they get Dallas, then all of a sudden, the breathing room of 7-5 and 10 days to prepare for a home game against Houston, an area in which we're really good, even though C.J. Stroud will be playing for him, that brings significant relief in the blood pressure department and if you're the Chiefs. And so, yeah, I think they need it.
All right, a little stock up, stock down. I'll start. I'll go with a coach. How about Brian Schottenheimer? And I know the Chiefs.
Getting ready to face him?
I know the Chiefs are going to face the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and they're a 5-5-1 football team, so they're not winning the NFC East or anything like that. But when you think about this team right before the season, in which he's a rookie head coach, they trade away your best player, Micah Parsons. You don't get off to the best start. You have a terrible tragedy also that just happened involving a player. I was watching a post-game video in the locker room from him, and you can tell, like, this is a guy that has the pulse of the team. The team follows him. They've obviously bounced back post-trade deadline as well. They add in Quinnen Williams. Like, the team, this is one of those where is the team buying in? And all the team's totally buying in. I don't know if the results are going to be there where the Cowboys make the playoffs or not. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Certainly, they beat the Chiefs. It helps them out if they do. But stock up on Brian Schottenheimer. I think in year one, considering everything that's happened, I think he's actually done a hell of a job.
No, I give Brian Schottenheimer a lot of credit. I mean, obviously, he was the butt end of a lot of jokes in the offseason. And at the very least, he's kept them afloat. So I can't really argue with that. I think the stock up should be, and I hope for other teams, or at least not if they're playing the Chiefs, should be on taking the ball second in overtime. There were five different overtime games yesterday, and in two of them, teams opted to instead take the ball first, and I cannot. I just can't.
Yeah.
Someone tell me the math. Is there new math that I don't understand about? There's a massive advantage, in my opinion, of getting the ball second. You know what you have to do. Everybody gets one possession. You know if you need a field goal, a field goal to tie it, a field goal to win it, a touchdown to tie it, a touchdown to win it. And depending on that math, you now have four downs every single time to do it. And especially against a guy like Patrick Mahomes. I'm not giving him four downs every single time to go beat me. And so if they got a great quarterback on the other side, I don't care how tired your defense is, which is the only excuse I can understand for why they might have taken the ball first. It's idiotic. Stock should be up. Take the ball second in overtime. It's so logical.
Yeah, I'm with you. This doesn't make any sense. I don't care if my defense is worn out. That's, but I want to know if I drive the ball on you and it's fourth and four from your 30 and I have the ball first, I have to kick the field goal essentially.
Yep.
Versus I get it second. I know fourth and four from the 23. You already have a field goal or you already have seven. Why? I'm clearly going for it. So I'm kind of totally there. I don't get why teams are approaching the overtime in this way.
I think the only reason the Colts did it is because of that one excuse, Cody, where the Chiefs were out there for so long. It's like we got to try and hope we can score because they need a break.
But then what happened is on that fourth, they had to punt the ball opening possession because you at least have to make the Chiefs try to work for it.
All they had to do is go down and kick a field goal. Yeah. They should have kicked it sooner, by the way. I don't know what the hell they were taking so long on. But. Mm-hmm.
I know. They were playing, messing with fate there.
I knew. You guys didn't know that they were going to do that? I knew before when the drive started. They're going to bleed this clock down. They're going to get it all the way down.
They didn't need to. You kick a field goal and you make it. It's over.
I knew that they were going to do like, what they did.
They were essentially playing that if they would have missed the field goal, they didn't want the Colts to have time. But like, if your kicker can't make a 25-yarder at that point, then you're screwed anyway.
I totally agree. My stock up. Hey, it's Shador.
That's not surprising.
It's
up from last week for sure.
It's way up from
he played in a football game.
It's way up from last week, and I think that this is just something I would love to see him play the rest of the season and continue to grow. I mean, Miles Garrett looking like you saw a ghost. Like, excuse me, this is what a quarterback can do with this offense? Is this what it looks like?
What was the last good quarter? What was the last competent quarterback game he's seen?
Shador is the first quarterback since 1999, since I was 4 years old, that has won in their debut as a Cleveland Brown.
That says more about the Browns probably than it says about Sanders.
I agree, but I think there are some things when he makes a throw and Miles Garrett's like, not too many quarterbacks can make that throw. And Miles has previously backed Shador multiple times, going all the way back to the preseason. It feels like this is something that Kevin Stefanski isn't going to have a choice but to play him, I think, because the locker room loves Shador, loves the energy. And I feel like this is something we just need to see play out because, I mean, for all we know, he might play himself into being that guy next season for them, or at the very least, somebody else, I suppose.
Yeah, look, he should play the rest of the season. There's no reason for him not to. He had a nice day, 209 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. He handed the ball off a lot to Quinshon Judkins. That was the best part of their offense, we'll be honest. 55% completion percentage. I want to see more. It was a very nice debut. We just also don't need to take it to the extreme of like,
he's good.
He was amazing and he's good to go now. I mean, like, we also had a discussion after one quarter of J.J. McCarthy in week one and act like he was great. And now it looks like he might be one of the worst starting quarterbacks since Jamarcus Russell. There's numbers that show that he is.
Well, what does this do? Stock down, by the way, on he wants to Shador Sanders to fail and he'll do everything to make his life miserable.
Can you believe?
Stock down on the conspiracy theory that they're trying to hold back Sanders.
I think you can agree on this. If Kevin Stefanski does not start Shador next week, that's a problem.
Well, it's a bad decision. That would be a bad decision.
The whole case and conspiracy theory that Kevin Stefanski wants him to fail. If Shador does not start next week, that gains a whole lot more legs,
Shador would have thrown for 400 yards and five touchdowns if Stefanski wasn't holding him back. He held him back, Cody. That's why he only had 200 yards.
I don't think that's what anybody says. It's the fact that he's not playing.
We played the audio of Cam Newton. It was the same take you had back in August.
No, I think my take is different than Cam Newton's.
No, back in August it wasn't. It was the same.
My take was that my take from the jump is that Shador is better than Dylan Gabriel, point blank.
That was my take.
My take preseason was that he was better than Dylan Gabriel and he should play.
That was your take. That was an actual take. You also said what Cam Newton said a week ago.
I never said he would throw for 350
yards.
Kevin Stefanski and the Browns organization wanted him to fail.
Correct. Thank you.
I said he's not putting him in a position to be successful because he drafted two quarterbacks and that he was not picking the better one.
All right.
That's fine. We don't have to get into it. My stock down is on actually Pete Carroll because I had said before the season that maybe he just didn't have it anymore in Seattle and that's why they decided to walk on him, which, by the way, was absolutely the right choice because they are a better franchise and organization now. He doesn't have it anymore, man. Pete Carroll's stock down. He doesn't have it.
He doesn't have the touch. I don't know if they'll fire him after 1 year, but they should.
They got like an 80-year-old running their offense. They got no quarterback, no skill position players, no momentum. Get out of it. Cut ties.
Bridge quarterback and a bridge coach, and both bridges have collapsed in their first year. It's terrible. It's terrible. All right, stock down. The Eagles, not that they're going to lose the division or anything, but
yeah,
another half of them being shut out, one of their biggest collapses in franchise history. They have no rhythm on offense. It seems like once the first quarter or two goes by and they're doing what they want to do with their scripted plays, when Sirianni has to actually make adjustments in game and feel like they have a real game plan,
yep,
there is none.
Nope.
There is none for them in the second half. He's not the OC. I understand that. He's just kind of a manager of the
team.
But
it's your job.
But it's your team. And yeah. This is the third half of football they've been shut out, I think, this year.
Yeah, they're a weird team. I can't figure out if I think they're good or not good or the same. I'm not going to write off the Eagles, but the stock is definitely lower than it used to be. You got a minute, Drew. Who are you down on?
Tampa Bay. They started 5-1. They're 6-5 currently. It doesn't feel like, I understand that's part of it. It just doesn't. They're kind of like the Lions to me. They're fine, but I'm not buying the Lions as a Super Bowl contender. I know they have capabilities of scoring points, but they had to go to overtime to beat the Giants. They got Jameis throwing off corners, catching passes. What the heck's going on? I'm down on Tampa Bay.
They're so banged up.
Carolina wins tonight. They're division winners or leaders.
True. Yeah, they're Carolina against the Niners tonight. I'm with you on the Bucs, right? They're just so banged up, and that was before the Baker injury. Bucky Irving's just not played this year.
So you know, he might come back.
Mike
next
Evans
week.
Been hurt. Egbuka got off to such a great start, and now that there's other injuries, teams have really been able to focus in on him and make his life really, really difficult. I still think the Bucs end up winning the South, but the idea of them doing much more, like I thought they were a team that could make some noise in the playoffs, unless they're getting everybody back healthy, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I'm not Carolina. We'll have to take the Panthers seriously if they go and win against the Niners tonight. I just don't think they are. Anybody think the Niners are losing to Carolina tonight?
Yes.
You do.
Let's go, Bryce Young. I predict Carolina in the playoffs. I think that Bryce Young is starting to gain more confidence, and Ted McMillan has shown that he's that guy. I think they can do it.
I will say I will be predicting the 49ers to win this game tonight, but I think it's like a 60-40 game, so I think that there's a decent chance Carolina could win it. They've got some talent.
Rico Dowdle's on a heater of a season.
Yeah, and they're a little saltier on defense than they've been in previous years. I'm not saying they're great, but they've got enough on the defensive line that they cause a little bit of problems here and there. So I don't completely rule it. I mean, the 49ers have been injured too.
What's the Panthers?
And Brandon Ayuk just quit on the team. We didn't even do that. Stock down. Brandon Ayuk ever being a 49er ever again.
His guarantee money got voided, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he stopped showing up for work. He's going to the future chief.
Hey, should remember there was the rumors he was going to get traded to the Steelers a year ago.
Yeah.
The Niners should have pulled that
trade.
He's
going to be a Bill.
Maybe, yeah.
How much did he sign for? Like $120 million or something like that?
Yeah.
Four-year, $124 million?
I don't know what he actually got out of it, though. Because, like you said, they voided the guarantees. That is stock up, stock down. Up next, let's talk more about Kareem Hunt. What's he going to be able to do maybe on Thursday? Plus, the Chiefs did sign a running back. What does that actually mean? And the random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. A little update on the injury front in Dallas. We already talked about for the Chiefs side, Trey Smith unlikely to play, and Rappaport saying he's expected to miss some time with a high and low ankle sprain. Looks like the Cowboys could be without one of their better offensive linemen as well. Tyler Guyton dealing with a similar ankle injury, actually, to what Trey Smith is dealing with.
Todd Archer, who covers obviously the Dallas Cowboys down there, says that he has a high ankle sprain as well, and is not expected to play for them on Thursday. So this all goes back to the thing. We're going to have to keep an eye out on how is Rashee Rice's hamstring at the end of the game, and how does Kareem Hunt's body feel like it's not falling apart tomorrow afternoon. There are some injuries, and Xavier Worthy, who obviously has been playing through a number of injuries for the Kansas City Chiefs, now having to do it on a short week. And so there's a lot of injuries to follow, but Tyler Guyton, the one for Dallas today. High ankle sprain, that's their left tackle. That's a huge miss. And he's very good.
Yeah, well, some of the numbers behind him, this according to Next Gen Stats, and they tweeted this out. Tyler Guyton not only has just been a better player this year, but he's in the top 10 for lowest pressure rate allowed for all left tackles in football. So this, you know, based on that metric, a top 10 left tackle in football, not going to be, you know, looking like available. Yeah. And the Chiefs could sure use any help they can get on getting pressure after Dak Prescott. You know, if that means there's a little bit of a weakness on the offensive line for the Cowboys, that would be a big boost.
Also in the break, they did announce that Shedeur Sanders will start against the 49ers next weekend. Even though Dylan Gabriel is officially cleared concussion protocol, Adam Schefter and others reporting that they will name Sanders their starter, at least for this game. I don't know if that means for the rest of the season. You would think probably the rest of the season.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Assuming he doesn't fall apart, right?
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't start on the rest of the year. Get your answer. Like, get your answer one way or the other if you need to approach the quarterback position again in the offseason or not.
I agree. I mean, look, it's same reason J.J. McCarthy's got to start the rest of the year for the Vikings. Like, if you're going to bench him, then you're saying that J.J. McCarthy's never going to start another game for us ever. And he is legit. You talk about stock down. Oof. You couldn't give away J.J. McCarthy's stock right now. Gold, it's below penny stock. It's about as low as it gets. Like, as a player who's performed as bad as him, it's like, no thanks.
Yeah, it was one of those where we've seen this happen a few times, but where basically if he would have spiked the ball every play, his passer rating would have been 39.6. And it's the second time this year that J.J. McCarthy finished a game with a passer rating below that. Like, he would have had a better passer rating spiking the ball every single play in two games this year than his actual performance.
Spiking the ball?
From a passer rating perspective, yes.
Ooh, well, that's not great, admittedly. He's been awful. Awful. If I'm like Justin Jefferson can't even get to 50 yards these days because they can't get it. Let's talk about the Chiefs for a minute before we get to the random question of the day. Coming up here in just a few minutes, I mentioned his body and how he's going to feel today. Kareem Hunt, and honestly the team's willingness to use Kareem Hunt this way, deserve a ton of credit. I have not seen a Chiefs running back run that consistently hard, probably since Kareem was a rookie. Every single run, he took a punishment, but he made you tackle him and go down with force, and nothing was easy, and they ran more under center runs than they had run at any point this year.
Love that.
14 of them, by the way. So he's now, some of that's because they ran 40 billion plays, but like Kareem Hunt deserves a huge amount of credit for helping him get that win, because he ran like he might run out of gas at any particular moment, and this might be, but he doesn't care. Let's say 2 weeks from now, he's not the same player. He was going to help you win this game, and Pacheco will come back eventually. He took full advantage, and I don't know. It was impressive, the run game.
Very impressive. And yeah, there's part of me that's worried that what is he going to be able to give you the rest of the season? I think that's a real thought to have and conversation to
Damian
have.
Damian Pierce, probably.
And that's where you hope Pacheco's available. And yeah, Damian Pierce, who wasn't able to get on the field this year for the Texans, is now reportedly going to sign to the Chiefs practice squad. I also think that could be a move to help in the return game. We'll see. I don't know if he's going to be up on Thursday already or not, how quickly he can pick things up and everything. But they just need a fresh body, because Kareem Hunt carrying the ball 30 times, and then you're asking him on a short week to give you much. That's a really, really tough spot to be in. So if there was ever a time for Pacheco to be available, it feels like it's Thursday, and we'll find out tomorrow from Andy Reid where things are at on the availability for those guys. But Kareem Hunt does deserve all the credit in the world for what he was able to do yesterday. They needed every one of those yards that he gave them. And yeah, I think from a coaching angle, a week ago, they were not willing to run on two straight drives, three and out drives. They passed every drive. Kareem Hunt was averaging 4.9 yards a carry in the first half against the Broncos. They did not give the ball in the second half much of that game. Complete reverse. And I understand week to week can be different, but I thought that was a good sign from the coaching staff that they were able to adjust. And this is what we said. Sometimes it's so simple. You know, there is going to be another game this year. Maybe it's Sunday where they barely run the ball again. It doesn't mean they're automatically going to lose. But yesterday was another one of those games where the style of the game, the way it was going, it felt like that was an area where you needed to lean on the run game more. And they actually did it. And so that was nice to see. And the under center stuff maybe gets overblown, but we've brought it up for weeks on the show. And I think that is something that they are starting to buy into more.
I think they kind of have to. We talked about their offense earlier, and I know we'll talk about it more later, but a lot of their problems start with how predictable the RPOs have become for them. Let's not say, you know, as in, I think they always know it's a pass. So the defensive end, if it gets in that situation, just stops moving, which means when you run those under center runs, you got a better chance of doing it. Look, I do fear what you said. Can Kareem Hunt play an entire season? The answer is probably no. You guys remember, right? Kareem Hunt ran out of gas last year.
He did.
Just plain and simple, he ran out of gas. And there were still some games or runs in which he could offer you something, but he was not the same player as he was previously later in the year. But if Pacheco can stay healthy, then that's an option. And Pierce has got to be better than the Clyde Edwards-Helaire run. I do not understand why they will not give a handoff to Breshad Smith. Somebody on the team would have to explain that to me like I'm an idiot, because he has juice. When he catches the ball, it is effective.
One carry for five yards is all
they
had.
Yeah, they don't hand him the ball. They throw it to him plenty. They put him on the field okay. They will not give him a handoff. I don't know if that's just coming like in RPOs in which they never run, as in the option part of it's taken out of it, but they aren't willing to do that. And yeah, Kareem Hunt.
I don't know if it's a pass protection thing too. If that's part of it. Because otherwise, yeah, like, if you just look at Clyde getting five carries and Breshad Smith one, you're like, why is Clyde not getting the one carry? Why is Smith getting the five? Clyde getting the five? I think my guess would be more of the trust in the pass protection. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
No, there's no logic in it. Like, someone's like, what's up with Elijah Mitchell? You don't even need to mention his name again the rest of the year. He was active for one game. He touched the ball for a half a second. And they're giving Clyde Edwards-Helaire in 2025 carries over Elijah Mitchell. Okay, like, we don't have to bring up Elijah Mitchell's name the rest of the... You know what? Now, starting now, we'll never mention him again. Unless for some reason three or four running back injuries take place, and then he finds his way under the
depth
chart.
Do you think Pacheco plays Thursday?
No.
He practiced a few days last week, didn't he?
Yes.
And then
he was a limited participant. Limited,
then they ruled him out on Friday. This wasn't even like, oh, we'll see. They ruled him out. My only hope would be, if you're trying to find an optimistic way to look at it, would be some of that was like knowing the short week. So let's have him fresh for Thursday kind of thing.
They tend to just wait four more days and say, if they wait four more days, we have 14 days to get Pacheco healthy.
He hasn't played since Washington, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So since week 8? I mean, we're entering week 13.
I know, but that's what I'm saying with like they just figure if it's four more days, why not get the seven more on top of it?
Because you're running back Kareem Hunt, if there's not, depending on if he's truly available, because that's Kareem Hunt just carried the ball 30 times. Because otherwise you go into the game, let's say Kareem Hunt like is active, but he's just
fried.
So then you're asking Clyde and Damian Pierce and Breshard's, they're not going to have all of them active, but you get my point. Like, let's say Clyde's inactive. I mean, I don't know how quickly Damian Pierce can pick something up. I view him more as a piece post this week that he's back. He helps you in the Texans game.
He feels
against his old team.
He feels like that and a futures pick. You know, like, we're going to bring in Damian Pierce now, get a look at the guy, and then next year when we know we're going to have to replace Clyde and Elijah Mitchell and Kareem Hunt, you know, we'll have another body who's younger that we can take a look at for the next few games and figure out what we like. I'd be surprised. I think it's going to be mostly Hunt, Clyde, and Breshad Smith again on Thursday. Genuinely what I think it'll end up being, and Pacheco will be another 11 days after that.
We'll I'd be very worried about the run. I'd be very worried about the run game if that's the case, if it's what you just said there. Because, look, Kareem Hunt, there's no way he's going to be as effective. If he needs 20, if they give him 20 carries on Thursday after what just happened and in the quick turnaround, I don't know how he's nearly as effective as he just was, because he was awesome yesterday and gave them everything you could want. By the way, as we were just talking about, J.J. McCarthy, Schefter just tweeted out that he now is in concussion protocol. He reported symptoms on the flight back last night or something. Oh. So I don't even know who their backup is. Carson Wentz is already on IR. It's like that Brosnan kid or something from Minnesota or some Brosnan. I don't even know.
Vikings depth chart.
They might have to sign somebody. Yeah, Max Brosmer, undrafted rookie out of Minnesota.
I haven't even heard of that person. That's their backup? Oh, it is. Yeah, Max Brosnan.
Someone says.
Is there not a different quarterback on the street?
I mean, I just told you McCarthy passer rating would have been better if he spiked the ball every time. So I don't know if it can be worse, actually.
Case Keenum going to come back and start for them? Is he on a roster somewhere? This feels like the most Case Keenum.
He's doing commercials for Lowe's or whatever it is.
Russell Wilson.
Stop. Why would you even go that route if you're the Vikings?
What, are you going to start Max Brosnan?
Cody, the Vikings.
Aren't they still technically in a couple games out of a playoff spot?
No, they're fourth in their division.
You want me to give you college numbers?
They're 4-7. Okay, it's over. They're 4-7. It's over for the Vikings. They're 4-7. Just start the rookie.
I apologize. You can start.
They've lost three in a row. They're 4-7.
Max Brosnan, Brock Lesnar, whatever his name is.
Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
You can start whoever you want. Huh. Like, if that's the case.
We'll see. Who do the Vikings have coming up?
I guess the only question is, does any of the teams we need the Chiefs to lose have the Vikings? Because that's the worst case scenarios. If
they do not play a single AFC team the rest of the way.
Their next schedule is Seattle, loss, Commanders, loss, Cowboys, loss, Giants, Lions, and
Packers. they don't play an AFC team, so it doesn't matter.
So, no, I don't really care what they do the rest of the way. Other than, I think it's a non-zero chance that J.J. McCarthy never plays another game for Minnesota. Like, I don't think he's going to be the starter. He has been so, we talk about this all the time. There's bad. And then they're so bad that you almost can't ignore. It's like the Josh Rosen effect. There's bad as in there's still things and we can, you're not a big fan of the way Cam Ward's played.
I'll admit, he was better yesterday. Yeah, I'll give him credit. He was much better yesterday.
But there are parts of the game where you're like, no, we can figure, for the same reason people fall back in love with Justin Fields. And we're like, no, there's some things. And just maybe J.J. McCarthy has been so bad. It's almost like unredeemable. Like, you're going to have a really hard time ever looking that person in the eye and be like, that's a start.
My guess is he starts again this year. I mean, unless this concussion is, you never know, but, or this Brosnan, or Brosmer, whatever.
Brosmer. What's his name, Drew? Alex Brosmer.
Yeah.
Out of Minnesota. Golden Gophers.
Here was the crazy number that speaks to just how bad he's been. So McCarthy ranks 851 out of 852. He's 851. There's only 852 in EPA per dropback among passers since 2000. Only player below J.J. McCarthy is the legend himself, Jamarcus Russell.
Dear God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. See,
really bad.
Not good.
The Vikings have to look themselves in the mirror, say we made a huge oopsie, and Daniel Jones... or Sam Darnold.
Kirk Cousins. Was out there.
Ooh, they have let three straight starting quarterbacks go that were all 15 times better than J.J. McCarthy is in the search of what is the guy. Yikes. They wanted their guy. Kevin O'Connell, I think this goes back to
Daniel Jones go?
The Kyle Shanahan conundrum, which is you're good and you stay good. And what happens is Kevin O'Connell gets to a playoff thing gold and he realizes, damn, I can't really win the whole thing with guys like Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold. I need a dude. Let's get a dude. So they go get J.J. McCarthy, and it turns out they drafted maybe the worst starting quarterback of all time. Maybe not, but statistically
in that particular statistic, yes.
Yes, and so at this point, throw that one back into the fire. Time to go back into the draft and find another quarterback. That or you can go back the veteran route and just put yourself back in the same position you've been in the previous 15 years of your franchise. All the Kirk Cousin years, all the Sam.
There's always
years,
QB whatever. Movement in the offseason, right? That's what makes the league great. But like just off the top of my head, I'm thinking, okay, Kyler Murray could be somewhere else. So Arizona could be looking for a starter. Minnesota could be looking for a new starter in the offseason. The Raiders are going to be looking for a new starter in the offseason.
Yeah.
Who am I missing? Atlanta, I don't know what they're going to do. Penix will be back, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what they do.
The Dolphins probably still have to go with Tua next year.
Just based on price.
Jets will have a new starting quarterback next year.
Yes. So there's quite a few. That might be it for the sure things of starting quarterbacks, other than if somebody... Steelers, did you mention them?
No, I did not, yeah.
They would probably be on the list, right?
So Kyler Murray's going to start for one of those teams.
Yes.
Next
absolutely.
Year, most likely. All right, let's get to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Alex and I are out the rest of the week. Drew and Logan and Mac will be helping take care of the show the rest of the way this week. So that means traditional time of year, traditional type of question, which is, I want to know, what are your Thanksgiving traditions? I feel like we talk about this all the time with Christmas and some other holidays, but clearly all of you do some of the same things on these holidays anyway. So other than watch football, which I'm assuming is at least part of most of your tradition making, what else do you guys do for sure? Is there a Madden tournament? Yeah. You guys always play a ping pong match against each other. We've done round robin ping pong before on holidays. What is it? Over 913-586-7965 or Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, live chats. We're over there as well. I'll take your answers.
I'll give you Alex Smith answer. We'll eat turkey. That's what we'll do.
That's
turkey
it?
Turkey comes to mind.
That's your only tradition?
No. It's pretty traditional though. Like we obviously have a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. And yeah, we sit around and watch football. Then my nephew's got older now, so I'll probably go down to their house in their basement where they've got video games and Papa Shot and other stuff. And we'll just probably do that and hang out. But like, we don't have like a Papa Shot tournament where everybody in the family's go. No, everybody just hangs out.
Just shoots a little. Okay. Yeah. So Kansas Duck Down over on
who?
Twitch says, just one of the people over there. He says cardboard games.
Duck Down. Gotcha.
Yeah. He says card or board games are traditional. We used to play pretty consistently. Two-hand touch football was a standard operating procedure.
Feels like a bigger family. That's definitely it.
Thanksgiving without question. We all got a little older, and that seemed to slow down a little.
Yeah.
And the old two-hand touch football, that happened a little bit less. From the 816, watch John Candy movies, Uncle Buck, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I got to say, I think Dutch might be the best Thanksgiving movie. Anybody ever watch that?
I don't think I've seen that, actually.
Okay. Just another
Dutch.
I'd like to introduce you to another possible Thanksgiving movie.
For Odyssey, the TV will have the three football games on throughout the entire day. That's what's on the TV. One of the other TVs might have some show for the youngest nephew or whatever, but that's about it. Otherwise, football will be on TV all day.
Somebody says from 816, beer pong every year. That's your tradition?
There you go.
You guys know no matter what. We play left, right, center. We gamble. We do that every single year. I think I'm going to bring the gambling dreidel again this year, so maybe we can gamble a little more on the side.
I love the fact that Cody's the one with the gambling dreidel. Like, the non-Jewish person on the show is the one that has the dreidel.
This is
hilarious.
Careful, you know, with the, careful.
That's what it's called when you shop for it.
No. I'm just saying careful with the game and everything. You know, given the recent events with poker and stuff like that, I'm just saying, careful.
Yeah, now I'm confused.
Oh, are you? Oh, you're talking about the FBI stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I was
careful.
Very confused. Then, yeah. I got you, Drew.
I
got you. Someone says they bring out the nice bourbon. They said they bring out the nice bourbon.
Okay, that's a tradition.
Someone says they do bourbon Wednesday lunch, and they call it before stomach expansion on Thanksgiving.
That's an awesome. I like ones like that. Slightly
Thanksgiving
different.
Breakfast. Okay, I'm fascinated by this. What do you? So, like a
catchphrase they said.
What are you doing for breakfast on Thanksgiving? I feel like having a big breakfast and then you're not going to want to eat as much later.
Light.
You go light. Or no breakfast. I go no breakfast and I know that I'm about to pig out later on.
It depends on what time of day.
Fair.
For Thanksgiving Day, we're eating it this year, we're eating it 1. It's not always the same every year.
So you can get by with no breakfast there.
I could get by with no breakfast there, but 3 o'clock on Black Friday with my family. So I got to eat no lunch, but I got to eat something.
We're eating at 4 on Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, I already told you the scenario there with the football game. So we'll have going back to Vinny with the vegetable tray, we'll have snack stuff out earlier in the day to hold you over till 4 o'clock.
Someone claims from the 816, the last person to refill their plate before dessert gets set out has to take out the trash and start the Christmas lights. So somebody's tradition is you're the last person to set up your plate. Your ass is on cleanup duty.
That's kind of fun.
All right. I mean, you know, you got to be, I feel like it's always the, like on big holidays like this, if somebody else cooks, you got to be the person who takes out the trash. You got to be the person who loads the dishwasher, you know? You got to do the other side of the thing. Somebody says left, right, center for them. Everyone brings dollar bills. Same thing. The only problem is my brother and I were talking about this. We play left, right, center. Our kids are starting to get like into it. Like they're like, I can't wait.
Cody's about to
To play left, right, center.
Degenerates.
I'm a little worried about
Fridays when Carrington and the whole station are doing the game.
Admittedly, starting to worry that my kids enjoy the gambling maybe as much as I enjoy it. And I don't know if I need to create that kind of buzz for a little left, right, center on a holiday, you know? Maybe we need to...
Don't let Carrington talk to them about it because, you know, C-Dot loves him some
Man, my kid's up here on a Friday, but I don't even
Carrington
get to play.
Get him even more hooked.
That's all. I'll take your answers. Again, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We'll read a few more after the break as well.
You do firework? People do fireworks?
Interesting. Firework watching? Who does fireworks in, like, Lee Summit Lake or something out there?
Like a professional show or just your neighborhood is doing something? Firework watching on Wednesday night. Yeah, there's a professional display. Obviously, in Kansas City, the plaza lighting ceremony is coming up on Thursday. Isn't it the Casey Curran, I think, is who's flipping the switch this year,
nice.
If I'm not mistaken.
I believe. They didn't cap it with a championship, unfortunately. Probably had that in place before. I'm actually trying to get a couple of Casey Curran players maybe in for a fan club later in the year, you know? Want to shout out to their excellent regular season. See where you go from there. All right, that's the random question of the day.
Yeah, 913-586-7965. Up next, let's talk more about what happened in particular on a couple of first downs for Kansas City yesterday and get into the Cowboys a bit. As you said, the week's a little weird for us this week with the holiday and everything. So how are you guys feeling about the Cowboys after what they just did yesterday against the Eagles? We'll get into all that right here on Cody and Gold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.